morning. So anyways, all right, why don't we stand, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, and we're going to try to finish off. I'm not going to guarantee you. Try to finish this chapter. It's a very important chapter, especially for those of you who are into the end times prophecy and what's to be expected, not only in our time, but the times of those who are left behind. When I read chapter 21, and he's talking about the second coming of Christ, but I like to say, you know what? He's speaking to us too, because not only we're waiting for his coming in the rapture, and what he's telling the believers in the believers who are going through the great tribulation, he's telling us as well, and that's to be watchful, be alert, be ready, because we don't know when he's coming. Anybody here know when Jesus is coming back besides me? I know. No, a time you least expect it, right? That's what you should be saying. If they say, hey, do you know when he's coming back? Yeah, he's coming back in a time you least expect it. So be alert, be watchful, be ready, know the signs. And so look at verse 25, and let's read it, and then we'll dive into the Word of God. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, and the seas and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them from fear and expectations of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, you know, it did sound like said great glory, but I did say glory, right? Okay. But he does say that. He says, hey, Jesus is coming back with great power and great glory. Okay. He can say that because it really sounds like it. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and you know that yourselves that the summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. And surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Isn't that beautiful? That book you have right in your hands is the only book that will never pass away. It's a number one bestseller and at the same time the number one best hated book of all. And that's how powerful and how much a impact it has on this earth is the Bible. That of all the books, the Bible impacts the whole earth more than any book ever. And I love the fact that what Jesus did will never be revised. Thank God for that, right? Nobody will ever do what Jesus did for our salvation. So we can know for sure there ain't going to be 2.1, 3.6. It's done. Very last sacrifice. It's already happened. It's done. Amen. And he goes in verse 32. Surely I say to you, this generation by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day comes on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and he stayed on the mount called Olivet. And then early in the morning all the people came to him and in the temple to hear him. So, Father, as we dive into the Word of God, we pray, Lord, that you would bless us. Father, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. And Lord, I just want to surrender myself. And I want to get this right, Father. I want to decrease so you can increase. And so this morning, let the Word of God have its way in us. Let it have its way through us and around us. And so we give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Okay, so jump back to verse 27 as we continue to look at the end times here, what Jesus said would take place. And the purpose of this morning is I'm going to be sharing, and I'm not going to share a chronological order of events, but I am going to share with you what's going to take place in the last days. Now, I believe this portion of scriptures that we're going to be talking about, he's talking about the second coming of Christ, but I also believe that it's speaking to all of us because we have to make a choice. The choice that we have to make in your entire life is the most important ever choice that you will ever make in your life. And I always share this when I talk to someone who doesn't know the Lord. I said, you're about to have to make a choice here. And this is going to be the most important choice of all. Of all the choices, this one is going to be the most important because it's going to deal with eternal salvation. And the choice is simple. It's only two choices, okay? Jesus said, hey, you're either hot or you're cold, right? You're either for me or you're against me. If you don't choose me, then you're against me. Even if you say, well, I'm not ready yet, but I'm not for him and I'm not against him, well, you are, because there's only two choices. You're either a child of God or you're a child of Satan. There's no other in between. So the choice is this. You have the choice to go with the rapture when Jesus comes back for his church, or you have the choice to go through the great tribulation when God brings judgment on the earth, and hopefully you'll make it through at the second coming of Jesus when he comes back as king to judge the earth. Those are the only two choices. And I believe as we look at this, I want to share with you what's going to happen within that time period so you know you can make your choice rightly if you haven't already. But I'm looking out here and it seems like everybody has. But I don't know. I don't know your heart. Only God knows the heart. That you will make the choice of not having to go through what the tribulation saints have to go through. God gave us the way out, right? I mean, how many scriptures in the Bible that he has given us the way out? He says he won't give you anything you can't handle in regards to temptation and other issues of life. He won't give you anything you can't handle, but he'll give you the way out. The question is, Jesus said, but you have to take the way out. I'm not going to force it. I wish he would. I don't like free will. I don't know if you like free will. I'd rather be a total slave, which we are called to be a total servant, slave, doulos to the Lord. Totally surrender everything over to him. But I don't want a free choice. God, just make me an AI robot, okay? I just want to be, you know those robots? You ever seen them? They're amazing. They're like humans. They're creepy. But they are controlled by real humans. They have to be controlled. But it's creepy and it's scary because I think even maybe the devils can possess them as well. It's possible. I don't know. But they look like it. And so you have that choice. Now look at verse 27. Because Jesus said, then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Now guys, this hasn't happened yet, okay? We haven't seen this come to pass yet in our lifetime. And it's not going to happen because when this does happen, guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in heaven. Praise God. I mean, I can't speak for you. I'm going to speak for myself. I'm going to be in heaven. And I know you. When I look at you, you guys too. But I'm not going to speak for you because only God knows the heart. When he comes back the second time, guess who's coming with him? We are, okay, on white horses. I'm going to be on the Clydesdale. I don't know about you because I can only speak for myself. You'll probably be on ponies. I think I'm going to be on the Clydesdale, okay? I'm going to be on that horse where, you know, my legs are going to be like almost split because they're so big. You're going to be on a horse where your feet are going to be dragging. We're going to be coming with him in the second coming. But I love the fact that Jesus is encouraging those tribulation saints, those who have to go through this great time of distress, this time of God's judgment. We're talking plagues, persecution. They can, guess what? They're going to be comforted. You know how I know this? Because we are. Look what's going on. There's a lot happening, guys, that's very discouraging, very scary. We're talking a lot of spiritual warfare and evil compared to the second coming, the tribulation saints. They're going to go through evil, but guess what? The difference between our evil and their evil is they're going to go through pure evil. We got evil, but guess who's holding back the pure evil? We are in the Holy Spirit. But once that's taken, guess what? There is no holding back that pure evil of the Antichrist and Satan's imitation of everything that God has done. Pure evil. It's evil right now. You look around, it's evil. I can't believe some of the things that I'm reading and what I'm seeing. It's awful. It's evil. It wants to bring out that righteous anger in me. And I hate that sin, and I feel sorry for those people because God loves them, but he hates the sin. But God knows what's going to happen. So we see that evil out there, right? What can you be comforted by when you see the evil and what's happening in Israel all over the world? Wars, rumors, or what can we be? Okay, one at a time. You guys sound like Sybil. Okay. Okay, what was it? He's in control. What did you say, Keith? Okay. Okay, what else? Those are actually right. It's not what I'm looking for, but those are, I didn't even think of those. Those are right. You know what? We can be comforted. The rapture is coming. Jesus is coming back for us. He's coming back. So this is only temporary. What's happening in this world today, it's going to end for us because Jesus is coming back. We're going to be with him forever. Well, guess what? The tribulation saints, they're going to have the same, be able to have that same encouragement, that same peace, knowing that all these judgments are going to come upon, which I'm going to share with you this morning in hopes that you'll say, I don't want to go through that. They can also be encouraged that it's going to end. The time is going to come where they too will lift up their heads and look, for their redemption draws near also. Just like us. Jesus said, look up, your redemption draws near. Every time you hear something or you see something bad, look up into the clouds and say, you know what, this is a great day for the Lord to return. That's what I do. Yesterday it rained on us when we went down to Mexico. I thought, oh man. Oh, well, we're going to work in the rain. It kind of rained pretty hard, too. But I said, man, this is a perfect day for the Lord to come back on a rainy day. Every day is a great day. So Jesus is encouraging these tribulation saints that as they go through this great time of distress, judgment, plagues, persecution, they can be comforted knowing that if they keep looking up, looking unto the Lord, looking to their redemption that Jesus said is close, their deliverance is going to come as well. Because it's going to happen, guys. What we read today, it's going to happen. And it's happening now. But what they have to go through, it will not be forever. Eternal life is forever. That's forever, right? Forever. Forever. Let's hear it. Forever. The Samlot. I love that when they show up his closeness of his lips. Forever. Eternal life is forever for Christian and non-Christian. They're going to live forever too, but the difference is where you're going to spend eternity. Remember, all roads lead to God. Only one road leads to heaven, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come unto the Father except through him. Jesus, going through Jesus leads to heaven. But everybody's going to stand before God. those who don't accept Jesus, they too are going to live forever. I never thought of this in my early years as a Christian. I thought they're dead, they're doomed, boom, that's it. They're going to live for eternity in hell. Total damnation, where the Bible says they're going to be gnashing and grinding of teeth. How many of you grind your teeth when you sleep? You, okay, you wear a night guard. And I bet you wear a one-piece pajama, too. The bunny one with the ears, you know. I want to get me a one-piece. I just don't know where to get one that'll fit me. but I would love to wear one, but just for the heck of it, see what it feels like. They're going to live for eternity where, you know, I mean, the pain, I can't even imagine. I mean, the worst pain that I ever experienced is when I gave my kidney to my brother. And they told me on the third day, you're gonna be in so much pain, it's going to be the worst day of your life. And I'm like, I want to change my mind. So they gave me an epidural, came in, and I looked at the needles. And how many of you ladies had an epidural at birth? Okay, well, I join you. Because I had an epidural. And I thought, oh, no, that needle got longer and longer. And they shot morphine up my spine. And the minute they shot up, this heat sensation went up. And it just went up to my head. And I felt like I was sucking on metal, a piece of metal. And I didn't want that, but the guy who came in to get it, he said, listen, I'm not supposed to tell you this. Please, let me do it. Please, because you're going to want it, and you're going to cry out in agony. You're going to cry out in severe pain if you do not do this. Let me do it, but I'm not supposed to tell you this. And I'm like, okay, do it. Third day came, it didn't matter. It was the worst day of my life. The pain was insane. But Jesus came to me the night before, and he spoke my name. And I know it was Jesus. It wasn't the morphine. Okay? Think, oh, no, that's just the morphine. It was Jesus because he called my name. And you know how they come in every 15 minutes, check your vitals? Well, they did that for me. And I thought, oh, it's just the nurse again. And I woke up, and I looked, nobody there, and I went back to sleep. I heard, Stevie. Just like that. Like if somebody's whispering and calling my name. And when I woke up the second time, I had a Samuel experience. Nothing. Went back, heard it again. Stevie. And I woke up in the middle of it, and I felt it go right through me. And then I realized it was the Lord calling me. Because why? He was preparing me for the next day. And sure enough, it happened. The next day came and they did the operation. I got an epidural like you ladies who give birth. I got a side cesarean. Some of you, how many of you guys had a cesarean? You don't have to raise your hand. Okay, you can raise it if you want it. Okay. I had a side cesarean where it went from the front to the back. Worst pain of my life. And it didn't matter what they gave me, morphine. It didn't matter. Nothing worked. And I was, you know, they give you a machine, every 10 minutes you press. I was like this, nothing. It was the worst day of my life. But again, God, he's encouraging the tribulation saints because, you know, they're going to have to go through all this, but it will not be forever. There will be a deliverance. They're going to be rescued just like we are. When Jesus comes back in the rapture and we look out there and we see what's happening in this world and you know, you can't help but say, Lord, please come today. Come quickly, Lord. I always write, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I want you now. But what does he tell them in verse 20? He says, but you need to be ready and watchful and you need to know the signs and the seasons. And that's the same for us today. Just like those who are going to be caught up in the great tribulation. You need to know and be watchful of the signs. Jesus, he makes it clear to us too. Watch, keep alert, be watchful. Because when I come back, it's going to be in a time you least expect it. And I'm thinking, okay, what will I be doing when Jesus comes back and I don't expect him to come back? Maybe I'll be asleep. He does say that. Some will be sleeping on this side of the world. On the other side of the world, they'll be awake. Some will be working. Some will be sleeping. Two will be in the bed. One will be taken. One will be left behind. What will you be doing when Jesus comes back? And Peter says, do all you can to be watchful and alert. Because we can do so much, but how many of you have heard this? Oh, you can do some more. Come on, lift weights. You know, well, give me one more. Give me another one. You know, remember that? I used to be a bodybuilder. Now I'm an undercover bodybuilder. And I forget, I can't lift. I got a thing, and you know, that spring, you go like this, and they say, if you can do 100, you can have it. Well, guess what? I got it free. I did. I got 100 because they gave me the wrong one. There's a short one, and there's a long one. The short one's more advanced. The long one's more. The long one, it did. So I have it in my office, and last couple weeks, I went, you know what? I need to do something. So I took it out, and I started doing this, and I'm like, oh, no. I can't do that because then my defibrillator, pacemaker, it felt like it wanted to go boom, 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 you know. And, oh, man, I can't do that either. You know, I guess I'm going to have to stick to aerobics, you know. Terry, what do you call it? Zumba. I need a Zumba. I got to go to Zumba now. But be watchful. Be ready. And that's going to come as what? As they read the Word of God, if they even have the Word of God then, because guess who's going to be the next terrorist? Will be the believers. The Word of God during the Great Tribulation period. There ain't going to be no Hamas. There ain't going to be these terrorists. It's going to be the Christians, the believers. You can read it yourself in Revelations. And so we need to have the Word of God, read the Word of God. And if you do, when they read the Word of God, when they know the Scriptures, they're going to be comforted knowing that it's not going to last. There's going to be an end. And so I feel that we need to be ready as well. You need to know what's going to happen to those who will be left behind. Listen to this explanation of what's going to take place. Now, I read it, and I'm going to read it to you. I thought it was good. It explains a lot more. Listen to this explanation about those two choices of those who are going to go through the Great Tribulation. Those who, you make that choice, you can either go through the rapture with the Lord or you can go through the Great Tribulation, wait for the second coming of Christ. This explanation, it says this, that after the rapture of the church takes place, in the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the 7 years, God's going to pour out His judgment on those who are left behind and do not turn their lives over to the Lord. Tribulation is the first 3.5. Great Tribulation is the last 3.5 years. That's the way I look at it. The first 3.5 years is going to be peace. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everybody's going to be about their business. The last 3.5 years is going, all hell's going to break out, literally. It's going to be bad, the Great Tribulation. His judgments will come, and the Lord will pour out. Now, there's seven sealed judgments. You can read about in Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 8. There's the seven trumpet judgments, Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 11. And there's the seven bowls or the vial judgments, which is Revelation chapter 16. But there's these three series of end time judgments that will come from God. And these judgments will only increase. They're going to get worse and increase and more devastating as the end times progress. Now, do we see that now in our time? The last time I heard what was going on with Israel, it's gotten worse. And not only in Israel, but here in our states, some more people who are protesting. I don't get it. When they start dressing up like the terrorists who commit these atrocious acts like Hamas, something's not right. We know who's behind all that. Yes. They should be immediately treated as terrorists if they're going to dress like a terrorist. Right. And, or take, let Hamas have them. But these judgments are going to come. Okay? Now, they're going to get more devastating as time progresses. The seven seal judgments of trumpets and bowls are connected to one another. The seven seals introduce the seven trumpets in Revelation chapter 8. The seven trumpets introduces the seven bowls, Revelation chapter 11 and 15. Listen to what the seven seals will include. The seven seals, when they're open, they will include the appearance of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 6. They're going to introduce a great warfare that's going to take place, and also in Revelation chapter 6, famine, chapter 6, plagues, chapter 6, and the killing of believers who believe in Christ in chapter 6. You can read it yourself, and I encourage you to do that. There's going to be a devastating earthquake that's going to cause this terrible devastation. There's going to be these astronomical disorders in heaven that Jesus talked about, chapter 6. And those who survive these six seals, they're going to cry out and they're going to say this. Listen to what they say when these judgments come fall upon them. They're going to say, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand?" We're talking those who take the mark of the beast. Those who refuse Christ are going to cry out. They're going to acknowledge there's a God. First, they didn't acknowledge, and that's why they're going through this. But they're going to not, "Hey, hide us from him, from God. Hide us. Let the rocks fall on us and hide us from him who sits on the throne." That's why I feel when people say, "I don't believe in God," that's not true. They do. They just don't want to submit to him. Because why? When you submit to him, then you have to turn. You have to change. You have to be different. And people want to live their own life. They want to live their own will, do their own will, not God's will. And if they didn't believe, then why are they spending so much money and so much of their time to remove God, his existence in this world? Why? People died for the Lord because who would die for a lie? You know the saying, hey, who would, all the apostles, they died, but why would you die for a lie? Would you die for a lie? No. Would you put all this effort in your life, all your resources, all your money to go hunt for the Loch Ness Monster? Only if you believed in it, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't because I don't believe it exists, that exists. Well, maybe it does, but if you pay for me, I'll go. Why would they put that much time in it? So the seven seals introduce the seven trumpet judgments, which the trumpets include, listen to what they include, hell and fire. That hell and fire will destroy much of the planet life on the world. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7 says this, "The first angel sounded, and hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown down to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up." Guys, I'm sharing this because I want you to see what tribulation saints, those who are left behind, are going to have to go through. So you can make that determination and you can know I ain't going through it. Because if you don't know right now, chances are you might have to go through it. I know for a fact that I'm not going through it. If you were to die right now, would you go to heaven? Then here's the question. You know what I get answers from Christians? I don't know. I hope so. I think so. I want to. Ooh, oh, I thought that was a rapture. Yeah, I thought that was a trumpet sound. No, because we wouldn't be here, so thank God. I mean, I don't think so. If you have to question, okay, I'm telling you now, if you have to question your walk with God, and if you have to question and say, "I don't know," something's wrong. Something's wrong. That's what the Word of God says. You should know without a shadow of doubt that you're going. Okay? I know for a shadow of doubt. There's no shadow of doubt. I know I'm going. I know it. And it's not based on what I do. It's based on what Jesus did. Salvation is free. He died on the cross for us, right? Thank God we don't have to work for our salvation. So again, Revelation 8:7 tells us that the first angel sounded, hell and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Then there's going to be the death of much of the world's sea life. How many fishermen do we have? I know George, he likes fishing. You know, John. You know what the Nina and Vince like to go? You know what's and Lupe, you know what's the best way to catch a fish? Have someone throw it to you. That's how I catch them. So there's going to be the death of much of the world's sea life, Revelation chapter 8. Listen to what it says. And the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea, they died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. As clearly as I read it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen, people, in the great tribulation period. You make the choice. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10, verse 11 says, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. And the name of that star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because the water was made bitter. You can't survive without water for a few days. You can survive without food longer than you can survive without water. There's going to be the darkening of the sun and the moon. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. Listen to what he says. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. Can you imagine being in total darkness? Now, I was. When we went to Africa, and we were out in a safari in the middle of Timbuktu, in a tent surrounded by an electric fence, and you can hear all the nocturnal animals out there at night going crazy, and at 10 o'clock they turn off the lights, you can't even see your hand. I was doing this because I couldn't see, and I hit myself a couple of times, but you can hear what's going on. And I got a glimpse, when I think about it, what happened in the plagues over Egypt when God brought the 10 plagues on Egypt. One of the plagues was darkness, so dark, darker than darkness. And the amazing thing about it is how the light and the darkness came together. This was all dark. This was all light. The Hebrews, children of Israel, was standing here. The Egyptians were over here. And it was like coming up to it, and it's like seeing the darkness. You can't even see through it, but you have everything lit up over here. Amazing. I have an actual picture of that over the equator when I was 35,000 feet up when we were going to China to smuggle Bibles. I took a picture of where the light and darkness met. I have it. It's pretty cool. It's like dark and then light coming, a line. They can't mix. So it's like you put oil in a jar of water, the oil is going to rise up. And no matter how you shake it up, and if you put it down and it's okay, but it all rises to the top where the oil and the water underneath. So there's going to be this darkness. There's going to be a plague of demonic locusts, guys. And they're gonna torture the unsaved, those who have the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 9 says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him it was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoking, listen to it, out of the pit, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth. And to them was given the power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Or any green, and they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Did you guys know that you have the holy seal, the Holy Spirit on your forehead right now? Let me see. When I first accepted Christ, when I said, Jesus coming tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. I went like that. Did that happen to you? You know why? Because that's when God had his stamp. He went, pff. And I'm, whoa, I just got stamped. I just got ghosted. With those who have, don't have the seal of God on their foreheads, guess what's going to happen? They were given authority to kill them, the locusts, but to not to kill them. Okay, excuse me, not to kill, but to torment them for 5 months. Can you imagine being tormented for 5 months? Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, but death will not flee them. And the shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns or something like gold. Their faces were like the face of men, and their hair was like women's hair. Their teeth were like the teeth of lions, and they had a breastplate like the breastplate of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpion, and there were stingers in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had as kings over them the angels of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek is named Apollyon. So people who don't have the seal of God are going to get stung by these. Guys, there's some things you have to take literally, not spiritually, by these demonic demons, scorpions. And it says that they're going to want to die, but death won't leave them. You know how many people are going to try to commit suicide and they won't die? Can you imagine trying to shoot yourself, blowing your head off with a shotgun, and you're not going to die. You're going to live that way. Jumping off buildings, you're not going to die for 5 months. It's going to happen. You know how I know this? Not besides because the Bible tells me. When I worked for General Dynamics, which was a defense contractor, right, when I quit back in 1992, they put me in their library up at Kearny Mesa, which you have to have a secret clearance to go into this because that's where they have all the, they had a lot of stuff to how to make the cruise missiles and stuff like that. And I was going through, it was very interesting. I enjoyed it. I was going through books and looking at all kinds of stuff. They gave me a magazine called Avionics. Avionics, it was a company that was trying to get, what they do is they make things, weapons, and they try to sell, get the government to buy them. It's like you making something and sell it to the government, and they'll use the weapons, you know, for their military and everything. As I was looking at the, they gave me this magazine, it's called Avionics. As I was looking, I came to this one page. I actually saw a helicopter that they were proposing. I'm not lying, guys. The person who did this had to have been a Christian, I'm thinking. It was exactly what this portion of Revelation talked about, the scorpion. I have it. I have the picture. It was a helicopter. It had the back of it was like a stinger where it had the blade. On the side, it had these, looked like some of these pinchers where the missiles and the guns shoot. It came down, and then it had a man flying it, and he had long hair. On the side was the paint of a lion's teeth. And I'm like, oh my goodness. And you know what their heading was? Avionics. We control the future. And I thought, they don't control the future. God controls the future. If that is truly reality, and something like that does come, which some people believe that it could be, John could have saw a type of helicopter, which is possible, or it's a demonic creature, which I'm going to lean towards more because I want to see that. I know I'm up there. I'm going to see from up there, not down here, okay? I'm going to see from up there. It's going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. I saw it. I got the picture. We control the future. I don't think so. God controls the future. There's going to be a march of demonic army that's going to kill a third of humanity, Revelation chapter 9. One woe is past. Behold, two still more woes are coming after these things. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which was before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the fourth angel, the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and the month and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in a vision. And those who sat on them had breastplates of fury red and blue and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lion. And out of their mouth came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, and their tails are like serpents having the heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murderers and of their sorceries and of their sexual immorality or their thefts. It's going to happen. The seventh trumpet will bring forth seven angels who will carry seven bowls of God's wrath. Revelations chapter 11 and 15. The bowl judgments, they include, listen, if you want to go through this, painful sores that will come upon those who have the mark of the beast on them. Revelation 16. And I heard a loud voice from the trumpet saying to the seventh angel, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. The first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and very bad sores came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worship his image. There's going to be death. The death of every living thing in the seas, it gets worse. Revelation 16, the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. What does that remind you of? One of the plagues in Egypt. The blood, the Nile turned red, blood. It was literally blood, and all the living died. Surely as I read it, it's going to happen. Here it is. The rivers will turn to blood. Revelation chapter 16. Then a third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and spring waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angels of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who and who it was and who is to be, because you have judged those things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them the blood to drink. For it is in their just due. And I heard another one from the altar saying, even so, Lord Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. In other words, as surely as you hear it, it's going to happen. Do you want to be in the midst of all that?
No.
Not me. There's going to be an intensifying of the sun's heat, guys. The sun's heat. Listen. You know that Death Valley holds a record from the most highest air temperatures on the planet, Death Valley? Anybody been to Death Valley? On July 1913, the temperatures and the temperature in Death Valley, it rose to a blistering of 134 point degrees. Could you live through something like that? That's why in Borrego Springs, they shut down the campgrounds. During the summer, they don't allow people to come down there because it's just too hot. Too hot. You can't unless you have air conditioning and what, but they still don't do it. 134.1 degrees Fahrenheit. The average summer temperatures there in the Death Valley, they rise to above 113 degrees. I've been in Borrego. It was at 112. And Venus, okay, Venus is an exception here. That's the closest to the sun in our solar system's hottest planet, okay? And that gets pretty hot. You know how hot that gets? Glad you asked. 867 degrees Fahrenheit. Think about that. I don't know how hot the sun gets, but it's pretty hot. Could be pretty hot. Well, okay, so it's going to be so hot. Revelation chapter 6 says, then the fourth angel poured out his bow on the sun, and the power was given the sun to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has a power over the over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. You know what human combustion is? They say it's a thing. I don't know. They say it is. Well, you can be walking and just combust into a fire, and you burn, you die, and only the parts where the fire lit is the only parts that burn. Everything else doesn't. Not everything burns. They call it human combustion. Human combustion, people are going to be scorched. They're going to burn. Boom. Maybe just walking, it's going to be so hot, you're just going to catch on fire. You want to be around that? There's going to be great darkness, and the sores that were poured out from the first bowl, they're going to intensify. They're only going to get worse, Revelation chapter 16. And then there's going to be the advance of the Antichrist's army at the Battle of Armageddon. This is all going to take place at the Euphrates River, okay? It's going to dry up. Right now, Iraqi Ministry of Water Resources, they warn and they say that the Euphrates River could be dry by 2040. Right now, it's the risk of drying up due to climate change. The temperatures northeast of Syria have risen by 1 degree Celsius compared to 100 years ago. The average rainfall has decreased by 18 millimeters per month per century by 2040. I think it's going to be sooner. I don't know. You know where I'm going to be? That's right. I'm going to be in heaven, so it doesn't matter. It could be 40 years, it could be 20 years, it could be next month. When I'm in heaven, this is when it's all going to take place. It's in the Bible. You can read it yourself. Revelation chapter 16. When the Euphrates River dries up, that's going to allow China and its allies to come up and join forces with the Antichrist and his forces, and they're going to fight against Israel. But you know who they're going to be met by?
God.
The King of Kings. And who else? Us, his people. We're going to return at his second coming, and that's going to be the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And then it goes on, and I'm running a little over, but you got time. Okay? The rapture may come. And if the rapture's going to come, what better place to be than here? And then the world's greatest earthquake will ever happen, followed by this giant, giant 50-pound hailstones. Can you imagine hail weighing 50 pounds falling from heaven? Where are you going to run? Where are you going to hide? It's going to go right through. 50 pounds. You can read it yourself. Revelation chapter 16. I'm not going to read it. You read it. You search it out. There's going to be a great earthquake, the biggest earthquake that will ever take place. And then the sealed judgment, the trumpet judgment, the bold judgments of the end times, they make up that great day of God's wrath, Revelation 6:17. For the great day of God's wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You know who's going to stand against this? What is it? Say it again. That's right. Us. You're right. Tom looked at me like, oh, that wasn't the right answer. Yeah, kind of hesitated there. Us, because where will we be?
Heaven.
This is why I wanted you to hear this morning. Because I don't want you to have to go through this. But you want to know the reason why these things are going to happen?
Why?
Glad you asked. The purpose of bringing God's judgment on the Antichrist's kingdom of pure evil that's going to be on this earth, and to judge the wickedness of man. That's why it's going to happen. God's going to judge that pure evil that's going to take place and the wickedness of men. You can read about that, Revelation chapter 6. Matthew chapter 24, listen to what Jesus said in verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, concerning the end times and seasons, he says, be ready, because you do not know when it's going to happen. And I'm going to end here. Look at verse 27. Then you'll see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. We're going to stop there. Pick it up. You want me to keep going? Oh, I thought you said it. It sounded like you said, keep going. Okay. I was going to say, all right, I can. You know, I'm excited because there's a lot more. The point is, guys, you have to make that choice. Two choices. You either go with the rapture of the church, or you try to survive through the great tribulation and go through the tribulation and wait for the second coming of Jesus. But the point is that they both are going to end soon. It ain't going to be forever. The rapture is coming for us. The second coming of Jesus is coming. So they're what they have to go through, what I just read, and the tribulation saints, that's going to end as well. Because why? Look up, for our redemption draws close. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. Lord, this is an encouragement. I thank you that you, this hour of this time of this great tribulation period that Daniel tells us in chapter 12 of Daniel, he talks about that after the rapture of the church, then comes that great tribulation period, that we will escape it, because you tell us that you will take us out of it. We have your word, your promises. And so if there's anybody here who's not sure, you need to be sure. As we continue, it's going to continue to go. You're going to hear, he says, be watchful and be alert. Those are the two points, watchful and alert. And we need that in our hearts, Lord. We need to be ready, because we don't know the hour or the time. So we pray, Father, that you bless us. Thank you for your word. May we search it, the scripture out. Search it out, because it is going to come to pass. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.